Good morning, everybody. As mentioned, I am Wendy Frank. I have to kind of take issue with being put on after Eric. You just heard about spies and espionage, and now I'm presenting survey results. You know, it's just a little more dry than that, but it is important information. So hopefully you can get some information that's useful out of here to help in your organizations. I am a partner out of the Los Angeles office with PwC. I work in primarily with our entertainment media and communications clients, and I also head up our DMCA practice as well. There we go. So a little bit of intro on the study. We've been doing this. Those of you who come here every year have probably been hearing about this from us for many years. This is the 19th year of our Global State of Information Security Survey. We do this in combination with CIO and CSO magazines, and we get results, responses from companies in every industry, but the results you're seeing here today are just from our entertainment and media and communications clients, so it's focused on your industries. As mentioned, it is a global study. You can see we've got respondents 25% from North America, 38% from Europe, 23% from Asia Pacific, 4% of the EMC respondents are from Middle East and Africa, and 10% of the EMC respondents are from South America. In terms of who responds to these, from our EMC responses, 24% are with the C-suite, but not related to information security or information technology. 17% of respondents are C-suite related to IT or IS. 18% of respondents work with compliance, privacy, and risk departments in their organizations. And the rest of the respondents work in either IS or IT groups, either in management or hands-on working in IS and IT. And we've got an equal split here. 28% of the respondents are with large businesses, 30% are with medium-sized businesses, and the remainder are with small businesses and EMC. So getting into the details, we have EMC is once again boosting spending on information security. We had an increase of IS budgets of 7% over the prior year, and IT budgets increased by 9% over the prior year. And you can see the average IS budget heading into next year is $4.8 million. So the key here is that companies realize they need to spend more on security, and they're doing just that. The question I guess we all ask ourselves on a regular basis is, are we doing enough? And I guess we're doing enough until we get the bad news, right? We see content companies spending more money specifically on content security. I think in prior years, we were seeing organizations spend more money on corporate, high-level security, but now we're seeing more funds being spent on assessing content security, assessing the handling of content, doing third-party vendor assessments for the vendors that handle content, and being more focused on the content security area. 52% of the respondents say digitization has led to a rise in security spending. So what we're seeing here is top spending priorities in 2016 are securing the new digital enterprise architecture. So the use of the digital content delivery networks is really spurring a lot of spending to secure those networks. That's been the biggest focus. We also see more money being spent on open source software and the use of open source, and also security for the Internet of Things. Interestingly enough, a couple years ago, when you talked to companies and said, how much are you using the cloud? The answer was, not so much yet. We really don't trust it. We see ourselves heading that direction, but we're not there yet. What's changed now is 55% of our respondents, of them are running their necessary IT and IS services in the cloud. So the trust in the cloud has arrived. The majority are running their important functions out of the cloud. So this includes things like IT services, marketing and sales services, all the back office processes necessary, whether it's email, shared document management, things of that nature. It's all being run out of the cloud now. At least the majority of companies are doing that. So this has required a huge shift for us because now we need to worry about securing the cloud, finally. For years, I guess when the cloud first started, a lot of companies had this idea that it's not in my office, I don't have to worry about it. We saw enough attacks on the cloud that now we know we need to focus on cloud security as well because our businesses are heading that way. They're there now. 59% are using managed security services. So again, running security out of the cloud for both cybersecurity and privacy. So think about, the biggest thing we're seeing is the use of authentication that's running in the cloud. So think about multi-factor authentication. That's the most common thing we're seeing here being run out of the cloud. We also now have cloud security assessments that we can just go out to the cloud and run a basic check on our cloud security position. We can do basic penetration testing from the cloud. So we've got a lot more running out there. We've got data loss prevention systems running from the cloud, access management systems. So again, companies are finding it more scalable. They're finding it easier to roll these platforms out. They're finding it easier to customize these platforms. They can spin them up much faster than installing things in their own office. So, security has now moved to the cloud as well. We're also seeing managed security services being rolled together with professional services too. It's not just a security service running in the cloud with no human intervention. You can now get this linked together with professional services oversight. of respondents in EMC are using open source software. They're doing this because it's easier to roll out, it's more scalable, it provides interoperability with pre-existing applications and also with middleware. This has been a huge trend because, open source software in prior years was seen as not secure enough. Yes, it was flexible, but we're too worried about it. That's changed. Now the majority are using open source software. So we're seeing big shifts this year. And because we're seeing big shifts in technology, those big shifts are forcing major shifts in information security to keep up with it. I think one of the good things about this year is in other years, we saw big shifts in security based on types of attacks, where this year we're seeing security shifts based on changes in technology and what needs to be supported from a technology standpoint. Percent of EMC respondents are investing in security around the Internet of Things. So the interesting thing here is if I talk to people in this room, probably a lot of them are going to say, we're not dealing with IoT devices yet. But the fact is you have to think about IoT because you've got your employees and vendors. People are coming into your environments, and they have IoT devices. So you need to think about what's that doing to the security of your organization. So we see companies developing policies around IoT, what can be brought into the office, what can't be brought in. We're actually starting to see companies controlling this. We're seeing companies work on data collection. If the companies are using IoT devices, they're controlling what data can be collected, how it can be used, how it can be shared or not shared with business partners. They're looking at how long that data can be kept, how it can be used. Is it going to be kept discreetly about each individual user of an IoT device, or is it going to be kept in an aggregated, anonymized way to protect the identities of people? A lot of money and time is also being spent on looking at privacy policies, and more in the EU than the US, but also a big focus on full disclosure. So people understand if they're using that device, what information is being taken from the company who manages the device? How is it being shared? How private is that information? Data privacy is becoming increasingly critical. This is something a couple years ago we really weren't seeing entertainment and media companies, at least in the US, focusing much on this, but they're definitely focusing on it now. Because of the growth of big data, we're collecting so much more information, and it's just really important we look at how that's being used. I've said this before, I think probably last year, but companies in the beginning were just collecting all the data they could. They were keeping it forever. They weren't protecting it enough. And then when a breach occurred, they would have all this liability for data that got leaked out there that they really weren't using anyway. So it was really a shame to have the reputational damage and potential financial loss for data they weren't making use of. So companies now are being smarter. They're creating collection policies. They're saying, if I'm collecting it, here's how I'm using it, here's how long I'm keeping it, here's how it's going to benefit us, and also right away, here's how we're going to protect it. The protection of the data is not an afterthought like it used to be. It's something that's designed from the start. So how long do we keep the data? What are we doing with it? Can we move the data outside this country? Or are we keeping data for US people inside the U.S.? Can we share it cross border? You know, privacy is, again, is a much bigger issue in many overseas countries than it is here, but it is becoming more important in the U.S., and especially in global organizations. EMC respondents are really planning for this. They're doing more education of their employees. They're doing more education on their websites for the customers as well. And as I think expected, you know, once again, we've seen the number of security incidences rise. This has risen steadily since 2014. The number of detected security incidences has gone up 26% since last year. And sadly, the financial loss associated with those detected incidences is up 81%. So I guess this goes back to the question of, are we doing enough? And sadly, I guess we're not, because we're still seeing these numbers rise. Not just the number of incidences, but the 81% increase in loss is definitely a problem. So we need to keep working on our security programs. We need to keep working them. We need to keep doing assessments. We need to keep remediating. And I think a lot of this is educating the boards of directors, because, you know, if for people who aren't in the security and technology business, they're going to say to you, hey, we just spent $4.8 million last year. What do you want? Why do we have to keep spending this money? So it's so important to keep educating your boards so that they understand what's happening in your industry. They understand about the breaches that are occurring on a regular basis, how they're occurring. Get them to understand that you could be next, and here's what they need to do to protect your organization appropriately. And EMC respondents believe that external threat actors like hackers and hacktivists are the most likely to steal digital content from EMC firms. You know, I think that's kind of expected. The part that I didn't expect when I saw this result is, I guess in one way this is good and in one way it's bad. The tricky thing here is companies are saying that they trust their third-party vendors more than their own employees, right? So I guess in one way that speaks to maybe having better third-party security assessment programs, knowing their vendors better, and making sure their vendors, they're assessing the vendor's security so that that's strong enough. That's a good thing. But this tells me that we need to start working on our own employees and the security around them. What are our hiring practices? What are our policies? You know, how often are we checking on our employees, checking in with them, making sure they're not disgruntled, that they're not in a bad way, that they could be the next insider threat leak? So it's really important that this is showing us we really need to be working on our own employee programs around employee security. And I guess as expected, you know, we've known that phishing is an issue. We've seen some major breaches in entertainment and media companies because of phishing. So 40% of the respondents are saying that phishing, social type hacking is their biggest threat vector. And that's what they were dealing with most in the last year. And that's where they see things heading for next year. So again, you know, we need to keep doing training. And everybody says, yeah, we do the training, it's not working. The important thing with training is you must do the follow-up testing, right? Train your people and then test them. Send out those emails trying to get people to click on something that you just told them not to click on and see what they do. You know, and then, you know, don't embarrass them, but use it as a next touch point with them to say, hey, you know, this didn't work. You know, why didn't this work for you? Let's talk about it, because you need to really take a personal approach like that. One of the other things we do with our clients is USB drops. You know, educate people on if you find a USB, don't plug it in your laptop, to be nosy and see what's on there. And human nature kicks in and they do it. So we do a test for some of our clients where we'll drop USBs in the lobby of the building or out in the parking lot, and then we'll put some little tag on there, which is so ridiculous, but we'll say something like, you know, payroll data, if found, return to the CFO, whatever. And, you know, the vast majority of people will plug that in. And then that creates the back door that, in our case, we just know they opened it so we can go and have some instructional time with them. But in the real world, this is how systems are breached. And it sounds funny, but it's crazy. This stuff still works because human nature, unfortunately, kind of wins out. So we need to keep doing that training and to keep doing that testing that goes along with it. And for a change this year, I wanted to throw something extra in here. You know, what should we be thinking about next? And these are just kind of my crazy ideas, so this is not coming from PwC, but just some conversations I've been having with clients. You know, what about drone security? I heard a story recently from a client. They were at a filming location, and they heard drones overhead. And kind of luckily but unluckily, they had physical security there. So the security guards all pulled their guns out and started doing this, which I guess... You know, that's great, they care. It's great they jumped to action, but could have shot each other in the process, including some of the actors on site. But start thinking about this. You know, it's so easy for a drone to fly into an office. They're small now. They've gotten quieter than they used to be. Fly into a filming location. They could be recording their own version of the filming and streaming it back to headquarters of the bad guys. You know, so think about this. Develop policies around this and plans and how you're going to handle it. An incident response plan for a drone invasion, right? It sounds like a bad movie, but we have to think about these things because it's already happening. And, you know, check with your counsel on this, because as far as I know, in this country, it's not legal to shoot someone's drone down unless it's actually like a national security or physical threat like that of safety. So figure out what you're going to do when you find it, because you don't want the security guards all doing this at the same time with the guns, right? Something else that has been interesting to me is artificial intelligence and self-defending networks. So we've been hearing more about this, and I think we're getting there, but we're not there yet. At DARPA's Grand Cyber Challenge earlier this year, they had two different test beds. One was an offensive test, and one was a defensive test. So the offensive test, you had an artificial intelligence bot. We had a couple of them running, and you also had teams of human beings. The cyber AI robot called Mayhem, you're seeing it here last in this example, but for the first example, the offensive example, the AI robot named Mayhem actually won. And that AI robot won because it was the fastest and best at finding weaknesses and then exploiting weaknesses offensively. The humans couldn't keep up. The other side of it, though, is from a defensive standpoint, the AI robot named Mayhem, the exact same bot, actually lost, because when it came to defending the network, stopping the attack, and eradicating, you know, all the open doors that were left behind, the artificial intelligence, the robots, were not as good at fixing those things. So the good news is they still need us humans around for a while, so that's a good thing. We'll all keep our jobs for a while at least. But just kind of know that this is coming. You know, if the bots are already better at offensive measures, at some point they're going to be better at defensive measures, and that's going to make all of our jobs tougher moving forward when we're dealing with those who are attacking us. And the third thing to think about is quantum computing. You know, as computing gets faster and faster, you know, right now, if we look at 128 bits, you know, it takes us a long time to break that level of encryption. But when quantum computing becomes standard, you know, encryption and encryption we consider high can be broken in a matter of minutes. Encryption as we know it is over, right? So at some point, we're going to have to rework all the encryption that runs our industry as well as the world and computing at large, because the encryption we're running now at some point is going to all be broken in a matter of minutes. So what's that going to mean? It's going to mean new encryption methods will have to be developed. And think about it, we're going to have to rework everything we do, all of the encryption we do in our networks and on content. It's all going to be different in the coming years. So just some things to think about. If you would like a copy of our Global State of Information Security, you can get that online at pwc.com/GSISS2017, and there's my contact information. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Great, thank you. Such an important part of this afternoon is giving that update. Fantastic. I love that third-party vendor thing, the whole insider threat.